This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This opportunity for you to listen to discussions from circumstances that present themselves all around the country and all around the world. It's Wednesday, January 22nd, here on the DJV program with Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan. Sounds like she's feeling a little bit better. Kara Schillen is at the controls in our studio in Washington. Hello to Matt, who's listening here, there, and everywhere. And so we get to the brawl of the century. The brawl of the decade, the brawl of the year, the brawl of the moment, anyway, between what one camp and another camp. So, Jennifer, what happened yesterday in the hour after hour after hour after hour after hour?
My tweet yesterday was they were going to take out all the remaining prisoners in Gitmo and dump them on the Senate floor, but torture is illegal. It was a long day. It was so boring towards the end. And the thing is that they're kind of stretching this out a little bit, and I thought it was an interesting tactic by the House managers, who are the prosecutors, if you're trying to correlate this with the regular trial that we're used to seeing. They argued yesterday for all different types of subpoenas. So these were all amendments that were resolutions that were being presented by Chuck Schumer, who's a minority leader in the Senate, and argued by the House managers. But the House managers almost seem to be making their opening arguments. So I feel like we might be hearing all of this again today when they actually do start making their opening arguments. They went through a lot of the material that they have against the president, a lot of what they thought was important. And, of course, Trump's legal team also fired back. Some of the moments a bit tense where they specifically focused on Adam Schiff, who's one of the House managers, for creating evidence, for misrepresenting evidence. He didn't look like he was too happy. In fact, one of the headlines on CNN was that he was quietly seething while the president's defense team basically presented their case. So yesterday was the first day of arguments, and it started with James Inhofe, the senator who was the only juror who had not been sworn in because he was dealing with a family emergency last week. He was sworn in, and then Mitch McConnell positioned his resolution for the rules, which were a little different than what we talked about yesterday. Remember, yesterday we said that there would be two 24-hour periods for both the House managers and the president's defense team, spread over 2 days, so two 12-hour days. Mitch McConnell softened to the pressures of the Democrats and gave it 3 days. So instead of 12-hour periods, there'll be 3 8-hour days instead of two 12-hour days. That's the only difference. So he presented his rules. They voted on it. Seemed to have all the votes along party lines. Then Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, presented some resolutions that would subpoena documents from the Department of Justice, from Mike Pompeo, subpoenaing John Bolton, subpoenaing Mick Mulvaney. Basically, there were about six resolutions for subpoenas being issued, and they would argue about those back and forth, and then they would vote. And in every vote, it was along party lines. It was 53-47 that they would table that. So there were no big wins for the Democrats, no Republicans jumped ship. And at some point today, after that marathon day of debates, the opening statements should get started again. But it sounded like they had already started yesterday. So you may be getting a little bit of a refresh today when things get underway with opening arguments.
All right, so moving into presidential politics, the situation between the party and its regulars and who's running and who wants whom to be president, the wholesale attack on Bernie Sanders that started before yesterday, really, and whether I would vote for Bernie or whether any of you would vote for Bernie, one of the points that we've made here is that this is the same sort of thing that happened last time around when Hillary Clinton muscled out all the rest of the people who are running the Democratic National Committee. Sounds to me like the same thing is happening here with Hillary, one of the operatives. In fact, here's a woman that was supported by Bernie Sanders. He traveled around the country to speak on her behalf the last time around 4 years ago, and she says he's not fit to be president, among other things. So it sounds like she's become a hack does she represent the mainstream of the Democratic Party?
That was one of the issues that she had with him, is that because he felt that he was kind of, you know, given the old screw job, and he was, by the way, he wasn't wrong, by the DNC and by Hillary Clinton. He actually didn't. I think he was slow to endorse her once he lost the primary, and I think that was the problem that
I remember she also was upset with him because she felt that he stayed in it way too long, and that she was forced to focus on going up against him rather than going up against Trump. Look, I voted for Hillary, but
Victoria? Am I wrong that the Democratic National Committee's taken out the knives to get rid of
Bernie
Sanders?
Oh, last time they screwed Bernie completely. And I think Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
No.
I haven't really seen that this time. I don't think Hillary is going to be the one who determines who the nominee is going to be. I think Hillary has got a lot of sour grapes with Bernie, and she said statements like, you know, no one wants to work with him, and people don't like him, and he's never done anything for the state of Vermont. I mean, she's really coming out against him. I don't live in Vermont, so I can't really speak to that, how the people of his state feel about how...
They like him. They're like him.
That's what I've heard and seen and read, but I don't live there, so I can't really speak to that. But I think that, you know, I think Hillary has a lot of sour grapes with Bernie. So I think I believe in her heart, she thinks he's the reason that she lost. And so I don't think any of her statements were surprising.
No. She's the reason she lost.
Oh, she didn't.
She blames a lot of people for her loss.
She blames a lot of people, and she should start with her campaign manager for one. But yeah, I don't think Bernie is the reason that she lost. And I think she has sour grapes, and I think we all have to take that with a big grain of salt.
So, and there are others who have sharpened their knives and gone after it. It would seem to me, if I were to look at it, I haven't looked at the polls, though, you probably have. It would seem to me, in my mind, the three main characters at the moment, one of them you're not going to like because this is how I see it. I see that Bernie and Joe, it's maybe the three Bs, the killer Bs, Bernie, Biden, and Bloomberg. That's where I see this the showdown coming down to. I don't see any of the women involved in this at all. Klobuchar made good vice presidential candidate for whoever it is that's selected because she's from a state that the Democrats need, and she also has a likability factor that's pretty high among people who are standard, moderately conservative. I think most of the Democrats actually are not Bernie. They don't follow in his footsteps because they don't think like he does. So there's need for a more moderate. Somebody's got to present themselves more moderately who seems to have the face of a winner. And I still say that that's Bloomberg, even at this point. So, anyway, you all can react to that.
Well, I do think it's kind of funny. One of the things I do like about Bernie is he's got a good sense of humor. I don't think I think he takes his politics and his vision seriously, but I don't think he takes himself seriously all the time, which I like. And he was asked about Hillary's comments and about Hillary saying that no one liked him, and he had kind of a funny answer, and he said, quote, on a good day, my wife likes me, so let's be clear on that one. And then he moved to talking about the issues. So I don't really think he's going to let Hillary or anyone get in his way. And I think that that's what everyone has to do at this point.
I'll be very clear. I think that Bernie Sanders is dangerous for this country. I would be concerned if he were elected to be the president. But the one thing that he has that none of the other Democrats have is that he actually can get enthusiasm on the same kind of plane, at least close to what President Trump can do. You have to look for who has the it factor and who can gather a crowd. And of the Democrat candidates, at least at this point, he's the only one that seems to be able to connect with those young
people.
He brings
people
in. Mm-hmm. And I don't, God help him, I don't know what the heck it is, because I look at him and I see kind of an old curmudgeon, but somehow he connects with people, and that's an important
connecting
piece
with farmers, too. And but you watch and see, if you haven't watched some of the video from some of the rallies that have come as a result of Bloomberg getting into the race, look at the faces of the crowd there. Look at the women, look at the ages, and you'll see some of the same stuff. It just hasn't gotten that
kind
of coverage.
I guess I just don't see the excitement with him yet.
Well, it's early. I think it's early on yet, and I don't think there was excitement about Taylor.
It's not, because we're 2 weeks. We're two weeks from Iowa.
We're on the convention. We're not at the convention. That's the determiner is the convention. This whole primary thing sucks. The way that they do it, the way that it's spread all across, it doesn't give people in California, well, California's changed it a little bit, but I think that there are many states, people who resent, and they ought to resent. By the time it gets to the last third of the states, or maybe 20%, 25% of the states, there already is a determination of who's going to run. The number of people that are there, and just it's annoying. So, anyway, that's that story. Let's spend a minute talking about the news media. I'm hearing, Kara, all kinds of flapback here. I'm not sure where it's coming from. It's very distracting. If you can, I don't know what we can do about it. We need to somehow figure that out. The first confirmed case of this new virus, which is basically just a bad flu, the Center for Disease Control says that the patient is in Providence Medical Center up in Everett, Washington, coming in through Seattle. Those are the three places, Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, where there's really a high state of alert because of people coming back from China. I think they should just shut flights down from China. That's it. Stop them. And that, you know, until there's a handle, until you get first cooperation from the Chinese government, which you have none of, really, and until it's determined how dangerous this really is. I talked to a couple of doctors yesterday who said really it was just a bad case of the flu. People are going to get it. Some people are going to die because people die from the flu. 70,000 people a year die from the flu. And how many headlines have you seen that point that out to you? But the risk, the Secretary of Health for the state of Washington said the risk to the public is low. That's not what you see in the news headlines. It's, oh, the virus is here and it's going to kill everybody and that stuff. So do I need to pay any more attention? Do we need to pay any more attention to this?
I just want to know who gets that nastiness and then wants to get on a plane and come here. Ugh.
Would you just want to stay home? Don't know that they have it and they're carrying it.
Yeah, they haven't shown symptoms yet. Yeah, the guy in the U.S. didn't start showing symptoms until 4 days after he got back.
Yeah.
But didn't they take his temperature? So I guess
No.
How long does it take to present it, though?
They weren't checking in the U.S. yet when he came through. They just started doing that. So he kind of got through in that period when it had already shown up in China but hadn't shown up in the U.S. yet. Luckily, I mean, I guess because he'd heard about it, he went to the hospital as soon as he started showing symptoms, but probably had interacted with people before that. So fingers crossed it doesn't start spreading here.
Well, again, it's this corona, how do you pronounce it, coronavirus?
Coronavirus.
That's how you pronounce it. There are a lot of people who have gone to various regions of Asia, come back from, I still think there's a connection between this and what's going on with the pigs over in China. I think that the respiratory infections that have...
Well, remember the swine flu everywhere?
Yeah, it could be similar to that. Yep, pigs are dropping like flies in China, and whether that's getting somebody's attention or not, this is not a... it's not a good situation because we don't need another problem like this here, whether it's a real serious problem, but it doesn't... Is it deliberate? Are the Chinese trying to get to us? There are a lot of the rumors that... You know, the Chinese will do anything to try to mess us all up. They also now are going to screen, starting today in Chicago and Atlanta and JFK, because there are flights, a lot of flights from China that are coming in. There are flights to Washington. There are flights from China that come to Washington into Dulles there. So I would think they'd be screening at those. Any major port where there is a Minneapolis, there are flights out of Minneapolis that go to Beijing. There are flights... I was at Salt Lake City Airport yesterday. I'm amazed at how that place has expanded in the last year or two. International flights going out of there.
Did you buy me some salt? You know, that's my favorite souvenir from that
place. I did not. Sorry, Jennifer. 21 after the hour.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Country music. Taylor Swift and the news about her mother, pretty unexpected and pretty sad. She has a brain tumor. She's had breast cancer and now it's gone into her brain, which is not atypical. A lot of women who have breast cancer goes into the bones, goes into the brain, goes into the lymph system. Taylor said that her family was facing a really hard time after doctors discovered the tumor, as her mother is having chemotherapy. As she said, quote, everyone loves their mom. Everybody's got an important mom. But for me, she's really the guiding force. Almost every decision I make, I talk to her about it first. So obviously, it's a really big deal to ever speak about her illness. So how old would her mom be if she's 29, 30? How old is her mom?
I'd be young.
Yeah, I don't know. 60, I think her mom's in her 60s.
Yeah.
Early 60s, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
A horrible... 50. Horrible reality. She goes on, Taylor Swift goes on, says, quote, the symptoms of what a person goes through when they have a brain tumor is nothing like what we've ever been through with this cancer, with her cancer before. It's been a really hard time for us as a family. She revealed that her mother, whose name is Andrea, would be seeking treatment for breast cancer in a note posted to Tumblr in April of 2015, so that's 5 years ago. She admitted that there were no red flags during her mother's initial screening. The results were conclusive for breast cancer. So there was an outpouring immediately of support for Taylor and her family because she had such a
She's 62, wide, by the way.
Fan base, is she? Yeah. So her mother's been fighting the disease, obviously surviving. But 4 years and whatever months later, her mother's cancer returns. Her father, Scott, also faced a cancer battle. Wow. It's not good for
so
Taylor.
Scary, you know, and
it's
sad.
It taught me that there are real problems and there's everything else. My mom's cancer is a real problem. I used to be so anxious about daily ups and downs. I give all my worries, stress, and prayers to real problems now. So holding a good thought for somebody like that certainly is a great thing for lots of people to do. Not pleasant. I went through it. Saw a person that I cared about basically spend 21 years being
fighting,
cut up, chopped up, fighting every day. Yep, every day. 26 after the hour on the Wednesday DJV program, Ozzy Osbourne has revealed that he's got a real problem now with Parkinson's. That came about last year at this time. He's been terribly challenging for all of us. He's 71. He said, quote, I did my last show New Year's Eve at the Forum. Then I had a bad fall. I had to have surgery on my neck, which screwed up all of my nerves. Not long after that, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and there's no cure, really, for that, although there's a lot of research being done to use the elements of cannabis to cure Parkinson's and other brain-related diseases like Alzheimer's, but there's nothing
such
now.
Such a sad disease, though. It's like become trapped in your body.
Someone
very close to us
nerves.
Died from it, and it was just horrifying to watch.
Yeah. There's so many different types of Parkinson's. This is Parkinson's 2. It's not a death sentence, said Sharon Osbourne, by any stretch of the imagination, but it affects certain nerves in your body. And you have a good day, you have a bad day. She also shared that her husband plans to see a professional in Switzerland in a couple of months. And there are a lot of diseases that get cured or treated differently in Switzerland because they have a whole different approach to how you fight.
They started allowing a surgery in, too, where you can do some replacement to the brain.
Well, apparently he gets numbness down from his arm. His legs keep going cold. I don't know if that's the Parkinson's, he said. It's whatever he said. They cut nerves when they did the surgery. I never heard of nerve pain. It's kind of a weird feeling. He previously denied that he had Parkinson's, but he ultimately came to the realization that he ought to be honest with his fans. He said, I'm no good with secrets anyway. I can't walk around with it anymore because it's like I'm running out of excuses. I just hope my fans hang on and they're there for me because I need it. Same sort of thing. Hold a good thought for Ozzy Osbourne. A couple of sad sort of reality stories with music people here at 28 after the hour.
How to meditate in 60 seconds. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. Meditation is like exercise for your brain. It's extremely healthy for you. I only have 60 seconds to tell you how to do it right now, and I've already used some of those seconds up. So here are 5 quick tips. 1. Find a quiet place if you can. 2. Sit upright, because meditation is different than lounging. 3. Close your eyes so you minimize distractions. 4. Sit still, because it's said that a quiet body can produce a quiet mind. 5. Focus on taking slow, controlled breaths. Do not get upset with yourself if you have thoughts. Instead, just observe those thoughts with compassion. The real goal of meditation is to be present, so do your best to be present. Oh, and start with doing this for 2 minutes a day. When you feel comfortable with that, meditate longer. For more in-depth information on meditation, visit drchristianconti.com.
It's important to think about your brain health as you get older. If you're experiencing a lack of sharpness or mild problems with recall, Prevagen can help. In a clinical trial, a subgroup of adults with mild, age-related cognitive impairment taking only one Prevagen a day were shown to improve in measures related to memory. Keep your brain top of mind. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The impeachment trial of President Trump began with Republicans and Democrats grappling for control of the proceedings. It started before the Senate convened.
McConnell's resolution is nothing short of a national disgrace.
Democratic Minority Leader Chuck Schumer berated Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's plan to cram 24 hours of opening arguments for each side into just 2 days, forcing much of the debate to happen after midnight.
He pushes the arguments into the wee hours of the night so American people won't see them.
But shortly after Chief Justice John Roberts gaveled in the trial, the Senate clerk made a surprising statement.
For a period of time not to exceed 24 hours over up to 3 session days.
That means they'll have 3 total days for each side. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 152, the Nasdaq down 18. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing, space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Fast-tracking into more conversation about what's happening today around the country and around the world. This is the DJV program. I'm Doug Steffen. Jennifer Horn is here. Victoria Keelan, the people that you like listening to, discuss what's going on here. Kara Schillen, for as long as I can remember, there hasn't been a radio program that focused on the issues the way we do. And I don't say that bragging. I just say it because it's a fact in this medium, this radio medium, most of the morning programs that are on focus on men, sports, issues that are important, no question about it, but who's speaking for women and women's points of view and the values and stuff? I don't think there's anything around, and that's what a lot of program people say. There's just nothing around like this. So I'm happy to have all of these ladies in our lives, my life, your life, wherever you are, understanding what we're talking about here. I'm not interested in necessarily changing anybody's mind. Just, you know, if you listen to us, that you're going to hear lots of different points of view about things, and then just the facts. For example, Victoria has the facts for us right now about what you should do if you've got a car that's involved in a recall, and there seems to be a myriad of these showing up, right, Victoria?
Yeah, and so this is the latest in the big recalls. So two of Japan's biggest automakers, Toyota and Honda, are recalling millions of cars over unrelated safety issues. So on Tuesday, Toyota said that they're recalling 2.9 million cars in the U.S. because of potentially defective equipment meant to protect passengers during a crash. And so the affected models are the Toyota Corolla, the Corolla Matrix, the Avalon, and the Avalon HV. And any of those models produced between the years 2010 and 2019. That's a lot of cars. And then in a separate announcement, Honda said that they're recalling 2.4 million cars in the United States, and some Acuras produced between 1996 and 2003 have the dysfunctional Takata airbags, so we know that's already a huge issue.
Yeah.
If you have any of those Honda models that are made between 96 and 2003, definitely keep up with the Takata airbag updates, because that's a huge thing. And my sister-in-law has a Subaru, who her car has been affected two times now. She had her Takata airbags replaced on the passenger side, which is where the main issue was. And then the replacement was part of the recall from last week. But Subaru never even told her. I told her because of the show. She called up her dealership, and they said, oh, yeah, sorry, ma'am, we missed that one. Yeah, you've got to come in right away. So just word of mouth, I think, you know, take personal responsibility. If you have one of these cars, do not trust that the dealer or the manufacturer is going to do their due diligence and reach out to you. Make sure that you're on top of this on your own, because this stuff is really serious. If any of these injectors go off, these inflators for the Takata airbags, it literally shoots shrapnel through the body, and a lot of people have been killed when these just, and you don't even need to be in an accident. These things can just deploy on their own, which is an extra scary level. So make sure, if you have any of these cars, stay on top of it and call your dealer. You can go on to the manufacturer's website, type in your VIN, and it will tell you if your car is affected or not. But do not trust that you're going to get some notification, because it doesn't always happen.
Yep, it's one of those dicey things. I was in a parking garage on Sunday over on Hollywood. It was one of the most bizarre experiences that I've had. I drove into the garage. There were police cars all over the place in the garage. So I think, what in the world's going on in here? So
I find a place. Did they say step out of the vehicle?
No, it wasn't okay. About it. Yeah, they weren't looking for people. That's what I thought, actually, Jennifer. That's what I thought at first. There was some robbery or something going on in one of the stores in the mall. But that wasn't the case. In fact, what had happened was somebody driving a brand new Audi, one of those, it's the larger model of the Audi SUV, but I can't remember what.
The Q5, I think, is it?
Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah, Q something. So this is an older gentleman with his wife. They obviously didn't watch where they were going. And a car was coming out of a parking space, and it was a Toyota, if I'm not mistaken. So this guy hits the Toyota broadside with his Audi, and the entire front end of the Audi fell off.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
The front end was completely destroyed. Now, how fast can you be going in a parking garage? Well, granted, the guy was not paying attention or wasn't looking around or wasn't aware of all of the things in his circumstance. The guy who was in the Toyota looked bewildered. He just had the doors on the side, the rear door especially, and the rear panel were pushed in, but there was nowhere near the kind of damage done to that car that was done to this Audi. And I was sort of flummoxed by it, because my sister has one of those, thing looked just like it, the same model. And you think, here's this.
Well, and they're not,
you know,
cheap cars.
Fabulous car. No,
yeah,
they are cheap cars. No, but the whole front end fell off in a... I mean, I was amazed, frankly, to see how cheaply this thing was put together. Really cheaply. So, anyway, something to think about with regard to the cars. So here we have this wind chill advisory today for many of you who are down. This is not what you expect if you're in Florida. But today, if you're in Miami, anywhere on the East Coast, over on the West Coast, Fort Myers, Naples, Tampa, all the way up to Orlando, it'll feel like you're in the 20-degree zone, because you will be. It's going to be cold, cold, cold. Miami's 44 at the moment, coldest temperature since January of 2018. There are warming centers. They're opening up in some of these areas because the homeless down there, you know, we talk about it here in Los Angeles, what a problem it is. Plenty of people down there that don't have homes that need to go into, let's call it, high school gymnasiums and that sort of thing. And I think, Jennifer, if you look at the map, you can see the storm moving into the west here now as well. The northern area, Seattle, Portland, Medford, Oregon, maybe as far south as San Francisco and Tahoe, are going to have. I was in Salt Lake City yesterday, and they were expecting, they heard this story about this storm, which is coming in and will blanket that area. They haven't had a lot of snow there this year, interestingly enough. But you know how eerie, it's just kind of one of those things when Mary picked me up at the airport yesterday, Mary Stockwell, Jack's wife. Jack is one of the doctors here on the program, and was treating my neck. And so we were driving out of the airport, and this cloud hung over the mountains. And it's one of the most beautiful, kind of a little eerie, but it's a beautiful feeling. There's something, say again? It's
but pretty, I love that.
Yeah, it was. It's quite pretty. You can see that here in the L.A. Basin as well. In Denver, you can see that sort of thing, wherever a city is pretty much covered by or surrounded by mountains. It was really quite beautiful. But anyway, be aware that this storm that's coming in from the west is going to affect people, and the cold weather that's in the Midwest and moving into the Mid-South and all the way down into Florida will affect a lot of people in the next 24 to 48 hours. I don't know if you have, anybody's got anything to add. What's the temperature where you are now, Kara, in Washington? It was cold yesterday,
cold.
Or no?
Too yeah, cold. It's yeah. Like mid-20s, and yeah. That's not with the wind chill. And yeah, it's freezing.
I'm just looking around here.
It's going to warm up here. Right now with the wind, it's 16 in New Jersey, but for the rest of the week, it goes up to the mid-40s. So
yeah.
I think that storm system that you're talking about must just be heading down south and not up here because
it's getting warmer as the week goes on. Minneapolis and Chicago and St. Louis have a heavy sort of icy, snowy mix, and then there's a lot of rain that's moving in from New Orleans down across Dallas. It's wet this morning. Down into Florida. It's 3 degrees at my farm in Boston, outside of Boston at the moment.
Aren't you glad you're not there?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. I had my friend go over and check to make sure the heat, everything was on with the heat, and crank it up a little bit, because I usually leave it in the 40s, and I think the wind factor is going to make it seem even colder. And so it's wintertime. Hello, boys and girls. It's the end of January. It's a chilly, chilly day, or it's a wet day, or a miserable day, pretty much. It's funny how the weather changes, because last weekend, the weather was pretty pleasant across most of the country. This midweek is pretty awful all across the country. Today marks a very serious landmark in the history of our country. This is the 47th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, establishing a woman's legal right to an abortion. There's a lot of conversation about this these days because of the makeup of the court, the makeup of the Congress, the people who are in power. This was a decision that was 7-2, if you don't remember it. I remember it vividly. 1973 was, especially in areas like Boston, a lot of college cities were protesting all over the place. The abortion issue, the abortion itself protected by the privacy rights guaranteed in the 14th Amendment. The precedent for the decision was rooted in the case that went back to 1965, where the right to privacy involved medical procedures in a case called Griswold versus Connecticut. Roe v. Wade was not the first time that abortion became legal. In fact, for most of the country's first 100 years, abortion as we know it today was not a criminal offense. And that has roots in lots of different things. The number of white men that were having sex with slaves and having the women impregnated and wanted to have abortions, you know, nobody wants to talk about that. But that was a big page in the history of our country. In the 1700s, there were drugs around that could end unwanted pregnancies. In 1827, Illinois passed a law that made the use of abortion drugs punishable by up to 3 years in jail. Other states followed the Illinois example. Advertising for female monthly pills, as they were known, was common, though, in the middle of the 19th century. Abortion itself only became a serious criminal offense in the period between the beginning of the Civil War and 1880, the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. The roots of this new law came from a newly established doctors' trade organization, the American Medical Association, came about at that time. doctors decided that abortion practitioners were unwanted competition in their business and went about eliminating that competition. Certainly the Catholic Church would have been an unindicted co-conspirator in condemning the practice. So by the turn of the last century, pretty much all the states in the country had laws against abortion, but for the most part, they were really enforced. Women with money had no problem terminating pregnancies. That's the case today and has always been the case, pretty much. It wasn't until the late 30s the abortion laws were starting to be enforced. The crackdowns that led to reforms that succeeded in lifting the restrictions in California and New York before the Supreme Court decision. But it's been very sticky all along. And as usual, in these cases where women's bodies are in focus, it's the men who try to make the rules. And it's pretty outrageous. I've often said, although sometimes the ladies don't necessarily always agree with me on this, I think there is no way, never will this be overturned, because it would cause a real-time revolution. It would destroy the government of this country. That's how serious I think it is. I don't see it happen. I see a lot of people rattling sabers and a lot of ignoramuses who think that this is the way to do things for whatever their reason. It just isn't any of your damn business. So anyway, it goes where it goes, and we'll kind of see where this... I don't think there's anything floating around that's serious at the moment, are there?
Well, on a state level, there are a lot of very serious anti-abortion laws that have made their way all the way up to the top of where governors have signed into law, those heartbeat bills and things like that.
No,
so,
not. Wasn't Georgia the last state that did something like that?
Alabama's another one. Kentucky, yeah. I think. There are a lot. And so,
why is it always the southern states? Why is it always the southern states? I think that's an issue that was worth talking about.
But more religious, or religion is a bigger...
Is it about religion?
Yeah.
How is this about religion?
It's about life. It's about what people believe to be life and what people...
I believe I'm not religious. I believe I don't believe in abortion, but I don't think it's my business to tell somebody named Sarah Sue Schumer that she can have that she can't have an abortion. It's none of my business. None of your business.
The argument is, if Sarah Schumer killed her 4-year-old, do you think it's your business to get involved, or is that her choice?
I think we get back to the whole business about where life begins,
right?
And that's something that nobody seems to be able to prove.
Well, people who are religious, people who believe in protecting life, typically believe that life begins at conception, and so that's what they argue with. They say that life inside the mother's stomach is the same as a life who's running around playing soccer, and that's the argument, and it's a really personal...
Yep.
A lot of times emotional argument. So
yep.
You can't just discount it and go, what the hell are they thinking? Because there's a lot of people who think that the opposite of what you might. And you have to be respectful and have
the... Well, I agree with the anti-abortionists, because I don't think that there is a confirmed place where life begins. But I can't bring myself around to telling other people what to do. If somebody kills a 4-year-old, then they go to jail for the rest of their lives. So is that what you do? Let's say there's somebody who has the baby is deformed, or there's going to be they know through testing there's going to be some horror show once the baby is born. Does it make sense to bring that baby into the world?
A lot of people would say yes, it's God's will.
Yeah. All right,
and that every life has value. I mean, that's kind of what people... I mean, look, there's a lot of gray area, a lot of back and forth, but that's the side that they would be on, I think.
All right, so there's no gray area as to what's on television tonight, so let's do that quick flip to the TV schedule tonight, Jennifer.
Vikings is new tonight, and one of the characters who got killed off last week is directing this week's episode, so She Lives Again. That's on History Channel at 10 o'clock. Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. It's a series premiere on Comedy Central, which is Awkwafina, a new Golden Globe winner. You can check it out 10:30 on Comedy Central. Modern Family's wrapping up its season in April. Check out a new episode on ABC tonight at 9.
10 before the hour.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude, put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
Time for this Wednesday on the DJV program. It's the 22nd of January, and if you've been looking around and are not under a rock, you know that there's a bit of a hearing going on in Washington, and all the participants were told you can't have your cell phone, don't bring your flip phone, there's not going to be any camera in the thing. Okay, so how do we get around that? And apparently, Victoria, you have the story about the getting around outside communication at the impeachment proceedings.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of strict rules about no cell phones, no electronic devices, no iPads, no tablets, no laptops. All electronics need to be left in the cloakroom, in the storage facility that's provided. They have storage bins at, like, little lockers and stuff that have been set up in the cloakroom for all of the senators, and it's supposed to be their aides as well. And so now one of the independent watchdog groups called Roll Call has spotted some violations already, and it's not even day one yesterday. Well, I guess yesterday was technically day one, but in the proceedings leading up to the official trial, 8 senators were spotted wearing Apple Watches to the president's impeachment trial, and so that is officially breaking the ban on the electronics that are allowed in the room. And so the apparent violations were on the wrists of 6 Republican senators and 2 Democratic senators, as well well as an aide to Mitch McConnell. And under the rules published last week, all of the senators are prohibited from any of the electronics being brought in. There was no specific reason given for the ban. They're not... the ban is the ban, but they didn't make it clear if it's a concern about senators recording private conversations or just causing a commotion on social media, tweeting during, you know, tweeting and Instagramming during the proceedings, or if it's just a distraction. They really want everyone paying attention. And so Apple Watches have, of course, messaging recording features. The newer models do not need to have a Wi-Fi connection. They're LTE. They're cellular. And so it's not easy to send a tweet or to read emails on your Apple Watch, but it can be done. Senator Ted Cruz really is the one. It's either he or his social media manager, they came out pretty boldly and mocked the ban, tweeting an image of an iPhone that says, quote, come and take it. So obviously Senator Ted Cruz not taking these proceedings and the rules very seriously. He was accused of tweeting during the proceedings already. Taking photos, videos, and audio recordings has also been banned in the House of Representatives since 2017.
So what's the punishment, though? What do they do?
Well, violators in the House pay a $2,500 fine. They have not said if there's a fine that's going to happen in the Senate ban. But apparently now that it's everyone kind of knows this is all being passed around social media now. We know that these senators are breaking the ban. They're wearing these Apple Watches. They're wearing other types of watches, Google and Samsung, things like that. So we'll see where this goes. But the fact that Ted Cruz very boldly said, come and take it. I can't imagine that Chief Justice Roberts who's overseeing all this. I can't imagine that he's going to take that lightly. That's kind of a pretty much right in your face.
I believe it comes
under
the up yours category.
Exactly. Yes.
Time for you to print your own temporary tattoos. Here's how you can do that. Listen up.
The Geek Out. I love the art form of the tattoo, but I don't have any tattoos, and frankly, I'm also terrified of needles and the permanence of the art form. So enter Prinker. It's a handheld inkjet printer that, yes, prints tattoos directly onto the skin in a flash. Prinker uses cosmetic quality ink that can be washed off with soap, but won't run off from sweat or just getting wet. You can apply pre-designed tattoos from the associated app, or create and load your own artwork into it. It uses ink cartridges, which are not inexpensive, but can do as many as 1,000 tattoos each. The Prinker 2 starts at $270, and we've posted a link to this portable tat machine on Twitter at The Geek Out.
All right, next up, Mike Bloomberg talking about tech companies and what ought to be, if he was president, the focus on the big versus the small. What's the story?
Yeah, well, Mike Bloomberg is kind of making waves in Silicon Valley right now. He held a big summit where he met with a lot of the CEOs and higher-ups in various tech companies. And this is a group, really, if you think about it, this is a group that is largely ignored or attacked by the current Democratic presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, really the two out in front, especially Elizabeth Warren. She has made no bones about it. She wants to break up all of these companies. Mike Bloomberg met with all of these CEOs, and he said that breaking up these companies is not the answer. And he said he doesn't think Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders know what they're talking about when it comes to breaking up tech companies. He said, quote, breaking things up just to be nasty is not the answer. You have to have a good reason, and you have to know how it would work, and I don't hear that from anybody.
Yeah, I think you...
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how did it go for Jake?
The kid what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.